Why should I feel discouraged? Oh, I feel like singing that tonight. Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Clear? All right. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to share something with you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I think we're just going to have church in a college dorm on Thursday. Yes. Hope it's big enough, Sister Erica. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we'll rent the cafeteria. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God's so good. 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. And before we begin reading, we're just going to pray again. And I want you to ask the Lord to touch your heart. We'll begin reading at verse 1 here in just a moment. But let's pray. Let's call in Jesus' name for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for such a great service so far, and our need for you, our need for prayer, and our need to dig into the things of God. Lord, help us tonight. This time that we've carved out, we've assembled ourselves together, Lord. We don't want it to be ritual. We want it to be powerful. Hallelujah. We want it to be anointed. Thank you, Jesus. We want it to be influenced by your mighty hand. Praise God. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's so good. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly or improperly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in unjust things, wrong things, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that scripture in 1 John chapter 4, which states God is love? Praise the Lord. A love that never fails. Hallelujah. Would you love him one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord, for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Praise God. I'm glad God never fails. Hallelujah. When you read the interpretation of that word, you read a word that says it never fails. In other words, it never ceases. It'll never lose. It'll never deplete. Sort of like the idea of the reason why your gas tank's now empty when you just filled it because somewhere there's a leak. It just went out. The love of God will not go out. We can go out, we can lose it, but it itself is designed to never fail. It said, I will never leave you, told Joshua, I'll never fail you. Praise God. And that's a statement God can make. I will never leave you, I'll never abandon you. I'll never jump out of your cup. We talked about the cup a few nights ago. I'll never become a bucket full of holes and just see you later. Right. Praise the Lord. We're reading a passage of scripture here that I'm wanting to pass on to you because there are elements in just this little bit, and I'll try to go through it, that are necessary for us in a world where, well, I'm going to read a couple of these things again. We know that in this church in Corinth, Paul's dealing with a lot of stuff. He's dealing with a lot of people. He's dealing with new people. I think there's one thing that I love coming to an understanding of, and I've seen this play out in Brother Rutledge's life over and over and over again. It doesn't matter how do I say this? It doesn't matter what people are going through ultimately, because they're people and they're going to be going through stuff. In other words, Paul's dealing with a predominantly Gentile people. In other words, a people that were not called by his name but are now called by his name in fulfillment of his word. So there are new people, and they're getting used to church and being born of God, and they're going through all sorts of stuff. I mean, crazy stuff when you read the whole epistle, of the first one at least. And these are people that were once idolaters and fornicators and queer people and all sorts of ungodly sin, but they're being converted and they're congregating, and there's a lot of them. And Paul has had a ministry of reaching for these people, and he's teaching stuff. And I think one of the most important things we could realize in teaching and reaching and being a part of people's lives is that you're a part of their lives. Praise God. I'm not here to be complicated, but there's one thing that I'm not going to do if I keep myself in a love that will never fail, and that is that I can always deal with people. I can deal with any type of people, no matter who they are, what they are, what they've been, what the quirks are, how perfect or imperfect, what color, what attitude, what they're involved in. It makes no difference if we're dealing with Simon the Zealot, Matthew the tax collector, Peter who could care less. It makes no difference. He had a motley crew of people, but Jesus could deal with every single one of them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to try to get through this. I won't finish it. I feel so much like pastor right now. But it's worth starting because there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn about his reaction to people and his non-reaction. There's so much to learn about what's a concern to him and what isn't. A few minutes ago, I said he's dealing with a church where there are no doubt people who have been living for God for a while, people who are new, people who are not doing good, right? Clearly. I mean, when Paul's going to write and say, you're in the wrong bedroom, you're not doing good. Yeah. And when he addresses all sorts of stuff, you're not doing good. But it's a very strong pastoral letter where he's got the whip out and he's putting some marks on some people's backs, spiritually speaking. And it's a letter where it may feel like there's no mercy, but it's coming from a love that doesn't cease. And one preacher said only real love can get really angry, and that's true. But only real love can stay real love when it is angry. And this is where it's important when we read 1 Corinthians 13, we're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the agape love. We're talking about a love that can tame us when we start to feel out of control. A love that when we become easily provoked, that love of God, if we'll yield ourselves to that love of God, will keep us from becoming so easily provoked. I think if there's any part of this lesson that nails all of us, it's that easily provoked. Easily. And when we find ourselves this way, don't waste a whole lot of time condemning yourself, talking to yourself, you shouldn't be this way and all that. Eliminate all that wasted thought and talk and just give yourself to the love of God that was manifested to cause us to be able not to be easily provoked. To put inside of us a nature that is unshakable. You sing the song, Brother Dana, about God. He's unshakable, unchangeable. That's who you are. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But who he is, the scripture says, we are in this world. That we are able to manifest the unchanging God who is changing our nature from day to day. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about a love that will never fail. A love that will never leave you. It will not abandon you. It will not run out on you. When God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he did not fill you with a spirit that is wishy-washy, that feels like saving you today but wanting to send you to hell tomorrow. Isn't that right? Praise God. He never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, even when we do, and we all do from time to time. Praise the Lord. But we still have a God who is love. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad he's unshakable. I'm glad he's unchangeable. Amen? I'm glad he is who he is. Hallelujah. So he's talking to the church, and we picked up in the middle of a conversation here where the subject was spiritual gifts, and And he's given some instruction on how to have church properly and how to yield yourself to God and how to cover the best things. And then he says, but yet I show unto you a more excellent way in the last verse of chapter 12. And then he begins to talk about, though I speak with the tongues of men. So he's saying, though I have all of these gifts and though all of these things are operating and though they're operating in my life, if I don't have love, because he knew he was dealing with other things, people grudging against one another, people getting ticked off because they didn't get their hand shaken and or they're not involved. And he was dealing with all sorts of issues with new people and just a new thing in the lives of people who never had this sort of thing before. And you know, the great thing about the love of God is it can take something like that and not pop pills over it. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm saying God has never had an anxiety attack. I'm not condemning you if you have. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that when we have the love of God, we are capable of embracing things that we thought we could never embrace before. I don't mind praying and thanking God for a great church. Even if sometimes we're idiots. Or sometimes we're people and sometimes we feel inconsistent or sometimes this goes wrong and that goes wrong. The one thing I always try to come back to is remembering that people like us don't change the unchanging love of God. But yet the unchanging love of God changes us. And if I can hold on to the unchanging love, I won't ruin you and keep you from being changed by that love. Praise the Lord, by being frustrated with you. Because we all need God, preacher and all. Amen? Hope this is making a little bit of sense tonight. It's sometimes a good reminder to look back and not focus so much on the topics that Jesus was teaching, but his reaction to what caused the topic. If you ever read about the mannerisms as much as we possibly can in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the comments referencing those in the epistles afterwards, study how Jesus reacted. Study how he dealt with stuff. We're going to read a passage here in just a few minutes in Isaiah 53 that will help put things in proper perspective. But if you ever wondered, how do I deal with something like this or that or the other, look at how Jesus dealt with stuff. And he had all sorts of stuff happening in his day. But yet when we read charity suffers long, we see this being shown in his life. We see the long suffering of God, the ability to put up with stuff without having to ruin the stuff you're having to put up with. Amen. Praise the Lord. Part of long suffering is not having to be the one who's right, amen, even if you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? We all have to deal with this, especially in our world today. When you want to speak the right, but long-suffering is able to bear. Yeah. And what we don't like as human beings sometimes is we don't like bearing stuff. But too bad. Yeah. We can't escape it. And I'm not trying to be rude. It's just we can't. But if we can get a hold, if we will not spend all of our time fighting what we don't want to bear or endure and just learn how to, we'll live better. We'll be happier, healthier. Why are you getting headaches and anxiety attacks over stuff when you're a child of God, when you don't have to? Over stuff that you're reacting to and your reaction is causing your issues. I'm not saying any one of us are doing this. I'm just teaching a lesson about, as I was dwelling in prayer, about his reaction to stuff. Yeah. Look at the temple and all this great stuff. And Jesus is like, yeah. But they were like, and Jesus said, yeah, a couple decades from now, it'll be a pile of rubble. Anything else you want to talk about? And you know, there are times when we want things to be important to him and they're not. And if you're not careful, you'll get ticked off at the Lord because he's not concerned like you think he should be. And then the Lord will reply to you and say, why aren't you concerned like I want you to be? Because the way I'm concerned is different than how you're concerned. You get concerned, you'll destroy souls. If you get concerned like I want you to be concerned, you'll see them saved. And that's the change. And that's this charity that messes with our human thinking and philosophy and reactions and seeing things. It helps us process stuff properly so that we don't get destroyed by stuff. And he's talking to the saints and he's saying, look, you can solve 101% of all your issues that I'm having to address, because he's having to be a papa bear and go spank the little cub. But he said, you can get over all this stuff that I'm kind of raking you over the coals for if you'll just learn how to love God and love one another. Yeah. Didn't Jesus say that the whole law is named in this? Love God and love one another solves everything. Yeah. Praise God. But we don't listen. No. He's simply saying to the saints, and I'll try to hurry. Saying, though I have all these things that you're focused on and you want to enjoy, that's great. Speak with tongues and interpret and worship and be spiritual and just be a juggernaut for Jesus. Wonderful. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. And all he was doing was stripping away all the stuff that was on their brains and said, are you filled with the love of God? Do you love God enough to live for God? Do you love God enough to love the saints of God? Do you love God enough to stay sane in an insane world? Do you love God enough to be the impact in this world that he has made you to be? Praise God. When men's hearts are failing them for fear, he doesn't expect your heart to be failing you for fear. And they're written in the word of the Lord, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Love. So there must be an interpretation there that this love helps us. I don't think we think about it like this sometimes. I want to try to express this because this is such a great lesson that every one of us, including myself, have to just process from time to time. And that is, the love of God helps me process stuff and end up okay when I'm done processing it, and corrects me when I'm not processing it right. I need the Holy Ghost to live in this world. I need the Holy Ghost to deal with the stuff that's in this world. I need the Holy Ghost to keep my mind on track. I need the Holy Ghost to help me not end up a nutcase like everybody else. I don't want to come to church a couple sandwiches short of a picnic. I want to come to church full of long-suffering. Hallelujah. Not puffed up. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let me just read this real quick before we go to Isaiah. Oh, so much to say. Dear Jesus. Beginning of service, a man mentioned came to me in prayer. That's why I said it. Let Jesus be a part of every area of your life. And this is why it's so important. This is what we were taught. And as you study the word of the Lord, remember this one lesson. It's not just to preachers, but we get to read the lesson that was written to Timothy by Paul, preacher to preacher. But we can glean from it, and you can as an individual. Study to show yourself, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Listen to the word of God. Slow it down. Study to show yourself approved. It's not about just Bible study so you can be a good prepared preacher. Study to show yourself approved. Hallelujah. Because at the end of the day, it's about you and about me being approved of God. Amen. And approved by God and pleasing to God. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's love him a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We just, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, as it's written in Psalm 23 and verse 1. And there are times when that staff, not the rod, we can get the rod if we want it, but that staff, we need it to just hook around our neck, and we need to be stared in the right direction sometimes, because we can go wandering. That's what sheep do.
Right.
Just go off and make a bunch of noise. It's true, right? We've seen them, and we need a shepherd. Hey, Carol and I visit a farm, and they got sheep, and we watch them. I'm just telling you by physical observation, they can just get noisy and just be sheep.
Yeah.
It's like, my Lord, we're likened to those things. Sometimes they stink. Just make sure you don't end up in the freezer. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let me hurry through here so I don't lose you. Praise God. But that's that staff. That, remember the word of the Lord, so you don't overthink this, and don't overthink yourself. Some people are so hard on themselves. You need to relax if that you're that type of person. I mean that. I mean relax. Would you just hear this English word one more time? Relax. Good heavens. Salvation that bad? Did he give us salvation so that we could just constantly be harping on ourselves all day? I thought this was supposed to be full of victory and liberty and great joy upon all the people. If you've lost your joy, no wonder why you're your own critic. If you got more joy, you'll criticize yourself less. Look, we're talking about a God who doesn't even criticize. He could, and if he does, he does, and then says, let's go on from here. Praise the Lord. While you stay criticizing. There are times God just got to touch your prayer room and say, would you just shut up? Would you just shut up? Would you just stop oppressing yourself? Praise the Lord. Would you stop critiquing your own life? You can't live for me without me anyhow. So why are you acting like me? Praise God. You're supposed to yield to the Spirit of God, and it's the power of the Spirit of God that keeps you righteous and holy. It's my blood that's cleansed you, not yours. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Praise God. Oh, I love the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. The scripture says he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. Perfect peace, not perfect non-peace. Hallelujah. Hey, you want to skip like a deer? Praise the Lord. Be filled with the joy of God, the joy that says I'm loved. Hallelujah. And I love him. Hallelujah. And I can bear anything. I can go through anything. Praise God. I can endure more than I ever thought. Because I'm filled with the love of God that endures all things. And when I can't, it can.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even a messed up world, a messed up country. Praise God. Messed up people of God. Let me say this in passing. You don't have to listen to me. I don't waste my time trying to get you to hear me. I believe enough that if you're Holy Ghost filled, you're Jesus' name baptized, you love God with all your heart, you're walking in righteousness and holiness, and you're not playing the hypocrite and the fool, I believe that when you come to church, you want to be here. And to me, it's evident by, I can't even start the service, you're already worshiping. So to me, I'm being taught by you that you want to be here, you want to love God, you want to live for God, you want to call this your church. I'm not going to waste my time as a preacher trying to get response out of you. I like it. I like it when you say amen. I like it when you clap your hands. I like it when you're on your feet. Any preacher would. But I don't preach for response. Never have, never will. Or if I did in the beginning, God beat it out of me. I'm here to preach the word. And if the word can't excite you, then you have an issue. Get it right with the word, then the word will excite you. Some show up to church only for music. Some show up online. What a word. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Art, come sit in here. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe that's a cue to, no, it's not a cue to stop. Amen. Just live for Jesus, bottom line of it all. Walk with God. This is supposed to be a glorious thing. A glorious thing. I can't fix everything. Amen? And what I was to what I was just saying, previous conversation got me thinking about that part, but it's so true. See, a long, long time ago, I learned a lesson that if I'm my position is what God has made it to be. I'm not looking for preaching and teaching. Sometimes people just get caught up with things for whatever reason they do, be it a complex, be it a pet peeve. It doesn't matter. I can't make you hear the word of God. It doesn't matter how much I pound the pulpit, spit so that I almost desecrate Sister Heather here. Get red-faced, jump, run around. I mean, that's all in a reaction to the inspiration and excitement of the Word of God and the love of God. I still can't make you do right. I can't make you live right. Amen? I can't make you respond. I hope you do. I'm catering to new people of God. In other words, people of God who are new. Amen? I'm not trying to get response. That's not the driving factor. The driving factor is to preach a word that can save your soul, that can change your life. I'm looking to intoxicate you with a word that can permeate itself into every area of your life. And I'll continue to do so whether you clap, whether you say amen or not. And if you stay quiet and you don't feel like worshiping because you're wore out, tough on you. Praise the Lord. You understand? And I said that in love. And I'm not because there's any issues. I'm just saying that sometimes you just got to close your eyes and just preach. It's true. Because you can see all sorts of stuff. And it can aggravate. I've been there. But there's a time when I got to realize who I'm doing this for. And who's the one that deserves all the adoration and the praise. I don't need pats on the back. I just need to be prayerful. I need to know I've heard from God. I need to be able to pass something on, praise God, that can help your soul. All right, enough said there. So charity suffers long. And in verse 3, he said, if I do a lot of great stuff and I don't have love. I mean, that's a powerful statement. I don't have nothing. If I don't have God, I don't have nothing. If me as a person, if I don't have the love of God that I'm living in and I'm yielded to, I'm nothing. If I can't love my brother and sister, I'm nothing. All the tongues don't mean nothing if I can't love. The scripture says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love will put your perspective on things in life in its proper place. You'll see things differently than you would if you're not quite right in the love of God. Please remember what the scripture says in Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God. It is your bubble. In an unloving world, a hateful world, a disgusting world, yes, we're in it. There's more people than there've ever been. It's more disgusting than it's ever been. You got more people, you have more trash. It's just the way it works. But if I can keep myself in a bubble, listen carefully to what I'm saying. I didn't say ignore everything that's happening in the world or in my world, our world. I didn't say not be sensitive, not be aware, not be informed. That's not what I said. I said keep yourself in the bubble, praise the Lord, of love so that you know what to do with the rest of everything else. Amen. We need to get the best of it and it not get the best of us. Charity suffers long and is kind. See, these ending comments is what you want to, like, you remember those little record players? And remember when it would skip? Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, he'd have some gospel music playing, and he had the player set up in my sister's room when she had left, and so it became kind of a vacant room, and he had it set up, he would go in there to pray, and he had the record playing, and he would fall asleep after praying, and the record would skip, and it would irritate me. And dun, dun, dun. And I'd be upstairs on the third floor, and I'd be like, Dad, pick the needle up. Dun, 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 dun. And they'd just skip. Dun, dun, dun. That's a great, great worship song, Dad, but just it's skipping. And I'd go in there, leave it. Oh, man. Same thing with Bridget when she was a baby, you know, the leave her. But it was a skipping, Dad. Yeah, I know. He played again. He'd go to skipping again. Charity suffers long and is kind. Hallelujah. Even when things are skipping, how kind can you stay? Envy's not. It's not jealous. Hallelujah. These are things you just get. That's why I'm saying it this way, because it's these ending comments are the ones you just want to skip like a record. Is kind. Is kind. Is kind. Is kind. Envy's not. Envy's not. It doesn't puff itself up. I don't have to be noticed. Isaiah 53. I got to finish. I want to be noticed. Vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doesn't behave itself improperly. Seeks not her own. Praise God. It's not all about you. I got to finish. So let's just finish Isaiah 53. I'll make a couple comments here that I'm trying to get to. Hope the lesson was okay. Praise God. So Isaiah 53, I love this passage of scripture. There's something about the Lord that is just so, it's just so predominant. I hope I can bring it out. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Isn't it amazing? Manifested in this world, the love of God personified. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave long suffering. He gave gentleness. He gave goodness. He gave something not easily provoked, something kind, not puffed up, not seeking his own. He didn't show up in a chariot. He never demanded that they respect him as the Lord from glory. Never demanded, never said, you don't understand who's standing in front of you. There's nobody on the face of the planet that could have won an argument with him. And yet he never exalted himself to win one. He knew what to do when they tried to rise up against him. He knew all he had to do was ask a question they couldn't answer, conversation over. And that's what he did. He didn't try to exalt himself. He didn't try to say, walk away from that, going snap, snap, snap. Mess with me the next time. I'll have the last say. Never did. So grow up before him as a tender plant, as root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, no beauty that we should desire him. Showed up in a way that wasn't trying to attract anybody to himself. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't desire to go after him. We didn't even consider him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him. He said, yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God. We didn't consider him. But we did consider him something that God was punishing, not realizing he was being punished for us. Talk about humility. Humbling yourself. We were all wrong. He was the only one who was right, yet he was willing to look wrong to make us right. Can we do the same? When we're right and everyone else is wrong, right. can we appear wrong in order to help them become right? Can we appear as a transgressor, which he was willing to do? He was willing to appear as if he deserved the cross. But yet, he was there for us. What can you endure for somebody else? In order to see them come to God, what can you endure? What are you willing to endure? Are you willing to look wrong in order to help the wrong become right? That means you don't have to win the argument. It means you don't have to prove that you're right and they're wrong. It just means you know who you are and you stay true to who you are and you fulfill the mission. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus knew, if I can get to Calvary, if I can do what I've been sent to do, what I'm about to do is going to become so powerful, it will draw all unto me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Wow, what a powerful statement. In other words, he was willing to appear wrong. And his willingness to appear wrong and to be looked at as wrong, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If God's for him, let him save him from the cross, yet he refused to come down. He refused to not look like he belonged there, that he was guilty. He was looked at as a transgressor, as a curse, as a sinner. I never saw a pastor try in dealing with souls one-on-one, and we've all seen his patience, in working with people sincerely, and being willing to just endure so much. But he was willing to endure so much in order to see one soul saved. And it didn't matter how wrong he appeared in doing it. Let me finish reading. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. We're talking about the one the scripture says, for God so loved the world, Jesus' own words, for God so loved the world that he gave something that would be rejected, something that would be a sting smitten of God. He gave something that would bear the iniquity of us all. He would give something that did not have to be right, but was right. Yes. I tell you tonight, you'll be more right by not appearing right than trying to appear right. Because love doesn't exalt itself. It doesn't have to. It knows it's right. And it's perfectly comfortable appearing wrong if the end result will be us being right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The greatest argument you could ever win is the one you never have. The greatest debate you'll ever win is the one you never have. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because when you have to be right, when you have to give somebody a piece of your mind, what you're doing is no different than a little kid running through a sandcastle that took 6 hours to build. Praise God. Praise God. But that long suffering takes 6 hours to build instead of 3 minutes to crush. It was written in the word of the Lord, upon whomsoever falls upon the rock shall be broken, but whom the rock falls on shall be ground to powder. God hasn't sent us to grind people to dust. He sent us to give people a place to become broken. Hallelujah. He was willing to be broken for us. And in his mind, if I'm broken, I'll be able to save them from their brokenness. Boy, it's a lesson too big and too wonderful to comprehend and preach. It really is, because it'll just let this thing sort of bleed into every area of your life. We talk about being Christ-like, and we so many times focus just on Jesus' name, Holy Ghost. That makes us Christ-like, but I've met people Jesus' name and Holy Ghost filled, so to speak, and they were not Christ-like. They judged by appearance. Things have to be their way, their spirit not right. Okay, that's fine and good for them, but it can't be fine and good for me and us. Praise the Lord. I got to stop. So let me finish here. Surely, so after we're reading, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He's talking about our Savior, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I don't like being acquainted with grief. I don't mind being acquainted with people and good stuff, but he's saying he's acquainted with grief, but yet his grief was not his own. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't consider him. We didn't esteem him. We gave him no importance. Surely he's carried our sorrows, our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, having no idea. That's what this prophet is prophesying about. God, this is God doing it to him. And there they were at the cross, casting lots for his garments, spitting on him, mocking him, his own people, mocking him. Yet he was able to endure that without coming down off the cross and calling for those 12 legions of angels and destroying everybody. And instead he decided, I'm going to endure. I'm going to despise the shame. You're despising me, but I'm despising the shame that I am submitting myself to. He submit himself to the shame that came upon Adam and Eve so he could rescue them from their shame. He became a shame to rid us of our shame. He took our grief so he could take our grief. You understand? He bore the grief, a man acquainted with grief, so he could remove yours. That when you called upon him because grief bore sicknesses, he came doing what? Relieving all, fulfilling this scripture. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows. That's what he was doing when he was healing people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And still today he does the same. He hasn't stopped doing it. And what we got to do is separate ourselves from mainstream stupidity that does nothing but separate themselves based upon statements of faith, upon doctrines, upon dress codes, upon all sorts of stupid stuff that does not save anybody. It doesn't bear their griefs. It doesn't carry their sorrows. It doesn't draw them to a Savior that was lifted up to draw them unto himself, who became a shame, who became a curse, so he could remove it from us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Carried our sorrows. So verse 5. So sorry, I'm finishing. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. When was the last time you endured a wound? It did me wrong. Okay. What are you going to do about it? You quit church? Quit the ministry? If he was wounded for our transgressions, surely we can. See, this is, I know it sounds the strangest thing. This is what can keep a pastor pastoring. Is the I'm not saying I was having a problem. I'm just saying any pastor, because you go back to a place of renewal and realize people are people, and you come back to a love of God that elevates you up from the wounds, from the bad spirits, from the carnalities from time to time, from people quitting church over a sneeze, people laying out, finding all sorts of reasons to just be wayward, and dealing with just the entourage of stuff that just goes along with the work. The love of God can pick you up and set you up on a rock and make you feel good about it all again. Hallelujah. And make you love it all again. Yeah. And make you want to get back amongst all the people all over again and just love them up. Wounds and all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I got to stop because it's late. Let's stand. Praise God. Well, it's sort of late. It's not that late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. He was wounded in the house of his friends, and yet he stayed saved. Betrayed by one of the 12, and yet he remained Jesus. Say, yeah, but that's him. No, you be quiet. You listen to what I'm trying to tell you right now. Don't cow out and just say, well, that was the Lord. If he can be betrayed, so can you. I'm not saying in the same way, but the same spirit is in the world. We're not going to be crucified to do what he did, but if he can endure, so can we. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's so good. He's so good. Would you call upon Jesus' name right now? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Picture this for a moment. I'm closing. He's marching up Golgotha's hill, bearing a cross. He's being crucified by the Romans at the request of his own people. He's enduring it. He's allowing it to happen according to the foreknowledge of God. But picture this. He's marching up Calvary's hill and he's allowing it to be. Hallelujah. The love of God. The love of God. God so loved. I don't know that we've ever underlined so loved before and emphasized it enough as what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. God so loved that he gave and wasn't afraid for what he gave to be ridiculed, rejected, and despised. So when you give based upon the same love and it is ridiculed, it is rejected, it is despised, will it keep you from resurrecting? Amen. Think about it. One more time, let's love the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. One more thing. I'm so sorry. Go ahead and yawn if you have to. One more thing. He did it. Listen now. Parallel to what was happening. He's living in a very ungodly world, but he still went to Calvary. Stop and think about that. He went to Calvary with the Romans in charge, with all manner of idolatry and iniquity and barbarianism all around him. He still went to Calvary's cross. It didn't stop him. Nothing, no matter how wicked the world is, we got to remember this as we go forward and reach for souls. To keep it all in perspective, that God's purpose doesn't change because the world's a mess. God's church is Mr. Clean. You're dismissed.